trust that you've had a good day in the Lord's house already. Good singing this morning, choir. Thank you all for being in your place and being part of the practices. Remember the youth choir and the beautiful good girlhood choir and the children's choir practice at 6 o'clock every Sunday evening. Every Sunday evening they're there. The youth choir and the beautiful girlhood choir kind of flip-flop. Just see the directors of those, the ones that oversee that, to see if you could get involved in that. We'd love to have more involved in that than the adult choir practices every Sunday evening after church. And y'all did, all three did a great job today, and looking forward to what God will do through our ministry of music here at the church. We are getting ready to kick off the cantata practices for the Christmas program. And that is something that has turned out to be a great event here at the church. I have truly enjoyed the choir when they do the Christmas cantata. So look forward to what they're going to do this year with that. Good to have visitors with us this morning. We're thankful to have many visitors that stopped in, and glad that you're here with us. I trust that you'll have a good time in the Lord and hope you'll enjoy yourself. We will be in Philippians chapter number 2. Several years ago, I was reading a series of sermons from Brother Paul Chappell out in California. And as I was reading them, I filed them away, and I just have been pressing to find a time that we could kind of go through these. So these will have a bunch of original stuff from Brother Chappell. We'll not have a bunch of original stuff from me, but I've taken them and I've looked at them in these series. They will be a help to our church, and I hope to feed you these with some little changes here and there that are more relevant to what's going on here at our church. So just to let you know that you'll be eating some meat that has been rehashed. Actually, he preached these in 1999. So it's been a long time ago. But I think they will be a help and a blessing to our church. Really do. And there's several times in my life that I've gone back to even gotten some sermons from Brother Spurgeon, Brother Charles Spurgeon from England. And that was a long time ago. There's nothing new under the sun there. And it's not that I didn't have time to study, so don't go there and say, oh, what, Pastor, don't study no more. And it had nothing to do with it. I feel that this series that he preached in 1999 are good for what we need right now in our church. And I want to use some of his material. So there you have it. That's what it is. The series is called Let God Arise. Let God Arise, and today we're going to talk about letting God arise in our minds. In our minds. Many of you are very familiar with computers. I am not very familiar with computers at all, other than you turn them on, turn them off. If you get on them, they take a lot of your time up. And then they will print off about three or four pages, sometimes in order, sometimes not in order. Maybe your experience with computers are different. Mine has been horrible. I promise you, I'd much rather use a pencil and paper and a good concordance and just stay with that. But I do remember this. Some of you know I've taken a course in computer when I was in the Army. And one phrase, I've related this to you, garbage in, garbage out. There's something else I remember back then was whenever you'd get a disc. You know, now the hard drives are so big and we're putting things in clouds and you know, and some of our things are, you know, just it's changed tremendously. But I do remember this. Years ago, they had this little 3x5 that came out after the floppy disk. The 3x5s, I remember trying to use them one time, and when I put it in, it asked me this question: do you want to format or not format? I said yes. Well, everything on the disk disappeared. Why did you ask me that question if you knew it was going to take away? I mean, you're a computer, you're smarter than humans. Why would you ask me, did I want to form it? It was gone. And from that thought, I want to bring forth this message that our minds in 2016 perhaps needs to be reformatted. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be a Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, all things come new. I think we need to reformat our minds. Well, how do you do that? Look here in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. God, I do believe God wants and desires to shape our thinking and to mold our minds into an image and pattern of that of Christ. The Bible says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name above, which is above every name, that as the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let God arise in our minds. I believe John said it best. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. So we're talking about God arising up, and you know, most battles, if I might say physical battles or emotional battles or battles that we face, many times we lose those battles because of our mind, because of how we think, and because of what we think about the situation. Many of you know that I help in coaching high school baseball and football, and many times I have heard this over the last 5 years. I've heard this. They look across the field, they see the other team, they see them coming off the bus, they see them, and this is what they say: man, we've lost already. In their mind, they have lost already. In their mind, they have lost the battle already. And I believe that God desires to reshape us, reshape our mind through learning Scripture. Now look with me. Hold your place there as we're coming right back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16. We're ahead of the game, dear friend. The Bible said there in Philippians chapter number 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? There's a question. But we have the mind of Christ. It's the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, today the Bible is more relevant, more needful, and more helpful than it could ever have been. God foresaw it. He foresaw it. He's settled it in heaven. He's preserved it. He's kept it. He's let it be passed down by copy. We have the mind of Christ, dear friend. And you know as well I have, as I'm standing here, that over the last 5-10 years that we have had men of God stand up in pulpits across America, across this world, and says, well, the Bible just isn't for today. It's archaic. That is false. Amen. That is a lie from the devil. And it's from the pits of hell. Amen. The Bible is needful. Because God said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said, not even a jot, not even a tittle. My word shall be for everlasting. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the only way that we're going to have a new mind and let Christ arise in our mind, let God arise in our mind, is that we understand something, that the Bible is very, very needful for this hour which we live in. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 5. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. Listen to what the Bible says here. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, what? Please God. But ye are not in the flesh. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The mind. Let this mind be in you also. It is a choice. Let this mind be in you also. It's a choice that you and I have to make. There was a lady that she was in the store. I don't know if it was a Save-A-Lot, a Publix, or a Walmart, or some kind of grocery store. And she just happened to be a blonde lady. And she was in the store on the juice aisle. And she was there looking at all the juices. And she got out a bottle of orange juice. And she was just there looking at the orange juice. And the stocker boy walked by. He was stocking here, stocking there. And he got done stocking. After 10 minutes, the lady was still standing there. And he thought, well, you know, maybe she's having a hard time seeing it. You know, as I've gotten older, I've got to have these glasses. So maybe she's having a hard time seeing it. And because she was really, really staring at it with intensity, she was staring at the bottle of orange juice as she was there. And she said, well, I don't want to disturb her. Maybe she's reading the ingredients. You know, everybody wants to know what's in everything. I tell you what people need to know. They need to know the hope of glory, Christ Jesus, lives in you. That's one thing they do need to know. But as she was staring, he's looking. 5 more minutes went by. He went to another aisle. He came back. He finally got there. And she said, sir, I think maybe we're to give some help there for this lady and see what's going on, because she hasn't moved. She stared at that bottle of orange juice for a long time. And finally, the manager approached her after about 15 minutes of this. And he said, ma'am, is there something we can help you with that product, let you know about that product? And she said, no, the Bible says that we are to concentrate. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, many of us stare at the Word of God in a blank daze, and we look at the Word of God, but there's no action that takes place in our life. I'm here to tell you, our beliefs, what we believe, what we truly believe, will bring action into our lives. And that's how many of us spend our mornings with the Word of God. We're concentrating. But our mind is on who won the football game yesterday. We're concentrating. Our mind is on what deer might come out of on our deer stand next week when we're hunting. We concentrate, but our mind is on what our wife or our spouse or our husband may do for us the next day. But dear friend, we have to get to the point where our mind is fixated on Christ Jesus. Because listen, it's not words that make us Christians. It is a relationship with Christ Jesus. For with the heart, man believeth, unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made. I wonder about your mind this morning. Let God arise in your mind. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 7. If we truly want God to arise in our life, dear friend, we must develop and learn of Christ. We live in a day and age where people in the United States of America, the great land of the United States of America, people have no idea what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No idea what it is. We talk about foreign missionaries. We love foreign missionaries around here. We love to have them. We love to help support them. Love to get them to the foreign field, dear friend. But there are people right here in our community, dear friend, who do not know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And shame on us churches and shame on us men of God that don't preach a word of God clear enough and straight enough that people cannot understand there's no other name whereby they must be saved outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, morals will do a lot of stuff for you. They'll even keep you out of jail. But morals will never keep you out of hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have eternal life. And I'm here to tell you, dear friend, we need to reformat our minds. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being a good person. For good works are not enough. For the works of righteousness did not save us. But it was the gift of God that brought eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not something that I can do and boast upon, but our mind, many of you, have come over the years, myself included. Brother Ray, myself included, over the years, there's been things that I've looked at and I've allowed the world to change my mind on what God says. I've allowed the world, and I've allowed friends, and I've allowed relationships with earthly people and carnal people and even with family to determine what I think and how I think instead of knowing what. But we have the mind of Christ. What the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. God doesn't want us running around in the dark, dear friend. God doesn't want us to, maybe this is what He wants, maybe that is what, maybe this is it, maybe not. Listen, God wants us to be exhorted in our mind to possess a mind of Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's a good thought, right? It doesn't finish right there. Let's go there and look. Proverbs 23, 7. Some of you have heard that very thing. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 starts again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Why? The mind. The mind has been robbed of who God really and truly is. We've allowed ourselves to dumb down God. Remember last week's message? The devils, the demons said, I'm sorry, you'd have to come back Sunday night. We're going through the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, we're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, just started. Matter of fact, we're just in chapter number one. But in chapter one in the book of Mark, the devil said, is not this the Holy One of God? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, God is not the man upstairs. God is not sitting in heaven rocking in a rocking chair, drinking Maalox, hoping that he can help you. God is not upstairs surprised that you're going through what you're going through right now. God is and has always been and is always will be the sovereign God of the universe. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that by the resurrected power of His own self raised Jesus Christ up from the grave. God is sovereign and in charge. And He is one that is, the Bible says, like the Almighty God. In the mind, we have to get to the point where we understand that in the mind, look at Philippians chapter 4, back over in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Several years ago, there was a movement that came out, and I don't know exactly who started, where it came from, or any of that, but there was a time and point where people were very excited to be wearing these bracelets, and these bracelets had some initials on there. And the initials meant, and stood for, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Brought a very good movement and made people think and made people get to the point where says, we need to ask that question, what would Jesus do? But we got to the point where we just wanted to know, what would he do? When the Bible says this in John chapter number 14 and verse number 15. Go there. John 14 and verse number 15. We got to the point that we forgot to do something. We asked the question, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus go to this place? Would Jesus be involved in this? Would Jesus be around this? And we ask the question, but that's as far as it got. And I'm here to tell you, the devil's okay with you asking questions. He's okay with it, as long as it doesn't change you. John chapter 14, verse number 15. What would Jesus do? It says there in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not enough, dear friend, just to simply ask, what would Jesus do? Because there's a lot of folks that can quote a lot of scripture. There's a lot of people who live and they memorize and they put Bible to heart and they put Bible to memory, but they don't live it. It's only for show. It's only to say, I know 782 verses. I've memorized them. I can quote them. How about you? And there's no living them. There's no follow through with what they... There's no application, Brother Adam. There's no... This is where the rubber meets the road. And I'm telling you, dear friend, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I am not against Scripture. I'm not against learning Scripture and memorizing Scripture. What I am is, I am against folks who use the Word of God to show themselves righteous and show themselves holy, but their life does not reflect Christ. In other words, we have a lunar eclipse instead of a solar eclipse. Our life and our memory work and our notation of Scripture outshines the Son of God. Whenever it should be, the word has hit my heart that I might not sin against God. And it's Christ. And it is God in front. And it is He that overshadows me, that everybody sees Him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Go back to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Time is flying. How many of you don't have a roast cooking? How many of you don't mind waiting at the restaurant for a minute? If you mind, it'll be okay. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, verse 5. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, who being, That means like it's already existed. It's being. He's already. Why? Because he is. What's the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word, and Word was God, and Word was God. And being, I mean, he already is. You and I agreeing with the Scriptures doesn't make God who he is. It doesn't make Christ who he is. But let this mind be in you also, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, listen to this, this is where it's going to get us, made himself of no reputation. Well, Pastor, I'll get involved if I get a title. But Pastor, I will give me a parking spot with my name on it out there, and I'll take a Sunday school class. Made himself of no reputation. That's what the Scripture says. Nowadays, it's all about solos. It's all about me. It's all about seeing what I'm doing. Listen, God couldn't have church this morning unless I showed up. That's how it is. We got to get to the point where we are in this for God to get the glory. We got to get to the point where it's all about Jesus Christ, the hope of glory inside of us, and the things that we do in our life and completing them shows forth God's glory, not our own. There was two missionaries over in China, and they were with Judson, and they were fussing. There was a clogged sewer pipe down in the bottom of the basement. They were fussing back. You going to go do it? No, I'm going to go. It's your turn to go do something like that. And Hudson, he just let them fuss and get over there. You know what he did? He climbed off down there. He got that sewer. He got it unstuck. He came on back up and let them keep on fussing. Because he realized something. The God of heaven left all the riches and all the glory and came down into the sewage of life where you and I live. The Bible says it like this. He gave up his riches and became poor that you and I might enjoy his riches. He made himself, listen what it says, verse 6, who being in the form of God, he thought it nothing that the Holy Spirit of God would overshadow him and put him in the womb of a virgin. No reputation. Do you realize something? As God of heaven, he could have chose to be born in Caesar's family. As God of heaven, he could have said to the Holy Spirit of God, go down there and find me a Roman that is in the household of Caesar, that is up there in the high part of the family, and put him in there. No, a virgin. A virgin. You know where she was born? He could have said, okay, that's fine. I will be put into a virgin. But by the way, as he goes pays his taxes, let him find out something that the government owes him a whole lot of money. And Joseph has billions of dollars due him from the IRS. And that way he can go buy him a castle. And he can buy him a palace. And he can be born. You know what he did? No reputation. On a donkey. No room in the inn. Born in a manger. Why? No reputation. It wasn't about him. It was about God the Father. As it come time for the cross, and it come time for the cross, it wasn't about his will. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he said, I come to minister and be a ransom. You know what he said? Lord, if it be thy will, allow this cup to pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done. No reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We got to get the point different. We quit thinking so highly of ourselves. We got to get to the point where we realize that it is all about God and all about His glory, and just be thankful that He uses us a little bit, however He uses us in His work. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself. You see the contrast? In the Old Testament, Satan, as he was known as Lucifer, as he was in heaven in Isaiah and Ezekiel, he said, I will ascend. I will ascend to the Most High. I will elevate myself above God. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. See the difference? Humbled himself. Descended to come down amongst men. Jesus said, okay. As it says in Revelation 13:8, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He said, I'll go. I'll go. I'm equal with God. I don't count it robbery. I don't count. Let this mind be in you also. That's what the Bible says. And then it gives us the great example of Christ himself, how he was God and didn't count it equal, a robber to be counted equal as God, but yet humbled himself and became a servant, being fashioned in a man's body and walking around as a man. He hungered, he thirsted, he wept, he was lonely, he prayed alone. He didn't have a place to lay his head. The Bible says that foxes have a hole. Let this mind be in you also. That's what the Bible says. And this gives us the great example of Christ. Flip over to Colossians chapter 1 real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20. I think it's about two pages over. You should find it. If you was in Philippians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says here, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your what? Mind. By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise God. The God of heaven became man, died on the cross, that he may reconcile us through the blood of the cross. Dear friend, that I might be delivered unto the first of all, which I also received. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. There is no other way to have peace with God than through Jesus Christ, His Son. No other way. No other way. And here's the example. Verse 9, back in Philippians. We're almost done. We're going to just run down to verse 9, 10, 11. We're done. I promise you, I will not spend a whole lot of time with it. Just stick with me just for a minute. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Wherefore? What's that word, wherefore? How many English scholars, you know what I'm talking about? Because of. Because of. He humbled himself. Because of. He counted, thought it not robbery. Because of. That he humbled himself and was fashioned as a man. Wherefore? God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things of heaven and things of earth, the things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory, not of the Son, to the glory of God the Father. Because, wherefore, because of all this, I've lifted his name. I'm going to tell you what the scriptures are saying right here. You can either humble yourself right now to the Lamb of God, or you'll bow your knee to the judging Lion of Judah. It's that simple. Every creature, the Bible says, every creature, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. God himself recognizes the name of Jesus above all names. Let this mind be in you also. Let God arise in our minds. Here we go. I'm closed. I'm done. I think I'm done. Our thoughts and our mindset on how we view God and the Holy Spirit and the Son and His Word gives us victory, or we live in defeat. No. You're wrong. Our faith is our victory. No. That's found in 1 John. I'm not going to tell you where, because you need to read just like I do. There's only 5 chapters. It'll be easy to find. Our faith is our victory. No. How we think. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, it's high time that we allow God to have His proper place as the sovereign God, even of our life. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim's coming. The pianist will be here in just a second. We'll sing a song of invitation. How do you think about God? When you think about all that Jesus has done for you, do you want to humble yourselves and bow your knee and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? How do you think in your mind about the God of the Bible?